Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Hear the word of the Lord. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, when I was in college, I didn't realize how much of a hurry I was in until a friend of mine who was following me with his car made the comment, "Hey, Edwin, you drive really, really fast." I replied, "No, I don't. You just drive really, really slow." And I was being crass and sarcastic with him, but he was a trusted friend of mine and he wouldn't have said something unless it was something that I needed to look into. Or in other words, he was basically saying, "Hey, Edwin, why are you driving in a way that is so insane where you're going to eventually hurt or kill someone?" I guess he was referring to the tailgating when someone was driving not at my pace, the cutting in and out of lanes so that I could always find the fastest flow of traffic, the unnecessary speed and sudden stops. But then I started to take notice of how hurried I always was. In fact, the way I drove was really a glimpse of how crazy and busy my life really was. When I walked with others, I noticed people almost having to double up on their steps just to keep up with me. And if they didn't, I was always turning my head behind me in order to talk with them because I needed to go to places and people needed to keep up. I was always so rushed and busy that I often worked through meals. And when I did eat meals, it was never as a time to sit down and relax, but it would be chomp, chomp, swallow, chomp, chomp, swallow, and I go, 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 so that I could get back to whatever needed to be done. So a full plate of food would take me no more than 3 minutes to eat. Even my daily schedule was packed with classes and hours of work, one after the other, and squeezing in as much as possible in my day and in my night. Every day it was waking up super early and sleeping super late. And you can say that Edwin, you're in the military, and so I'm just being efficient with my time as I try to get as much done as possible. But my efficiency and my pace of how I was functioning was actually killing me. Ask me how I was, and I would proudly respond back to you and say, "Oh, I'm busy." Like it was a badge of honor and something to be celebrated as I flaunted how much I could do and what I was accomplishing. I mean, I was getting things done. And the image I was portraying to everybody else was, "Wow, Edwin, you are so successful. You are so put together." But behind the scenes, my life told a very different story. I was frequently irritable at people who didn't function at the speed like I did. So people who were slower in how they did things, or who were not as organized as I was, or who were late and slowed me down, felt my annoyed stares and sarcastic comments. I also liked to plan out everything really, really well. So if things didn't go the way that I planned, especially if it was because of someone else, they would know about it. Then I would aggressively take over their responsibility with an attitude because, hey, I have things to do and I have a plan to keep. Whenever anyone messed up with my schedule or slowed down my schedule, I got angry and frustrated with them as my emotions frequently spilled out onto how I spoke with people. I functioned with no margin. I said yes to everything because to say no meant weakness on my part, and that would portray that I couldn't do it. I worked 7 days a week trying to get all of my tasks done while being stressed and overwhelmed while doing all of it. And why was I functioning this way? I don't know. Maybe it was how my family functioned, because we were rewarded for achievement and accomplishments. Or because I wanted to prove that I mattered, or maybe because I was just super insecure. And so my busyness made up for it. I was a controlling workaholic who was never really present, who frequently stuffed my emotions, and who frequently made bad decisions because I was always stressed and in a hurry. But the environment that I was in encouraged busyness and productivity. I even had a boss tell me when I first started a job, "Hey, if you're not jumping on with us, then you're just going to be left behind. Basically, function at our pace or you won't survive here." And did I tell you that during this time, I considered myself to be a Christian as well? But honestly, my life and the way that I was functioning didn't look anything like being a follower of Jesus. But I was a success in everybody else's eyes, and that was what really matters, right? And for many, what I just described also describes your life. Frequently gasping for air at work just to keep up with everything, restlessness and worried about everything that needs to be done or yet to be done, and hurrying everywhere that you go, yelling at your spouse and your kids because things didn't get done or because you are late again, packing your schedules with everything and expecting everyone else in your life to function exactly the same way that you are functioning, being so rushed that any hiccup, like a traffic jam, or a late appointment, a slow cashier, a long line at the store sends you into a rage because someone messed with your schedule. When it comes to church, you either always come in late, or you have to leave early, or you don't even come because you can always catch it online later because you are stretched so thin on everything and on everything else that you have to do during the week that God ends up getting your leftovers, and so you need to sleep in again. We claim to follow Jesus, but we are really just following how our culture functions, where it's go, 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 and we give the image on social media that we're all put together, that we can handle everything, and that everything is fine, while on the reality, we are actually stressed to the max. Many of us are in such a hurry all the time that instead of walking with Jesus, we are running ahead of him, expecting him to catch up to our pace. No wonder we are mad when God doesn't do things according to what we want or in our timing. And I get it. For many of us, our busyness is necessary for our survival and even for the benefit of others who rely on us. For some, our busyness even entails doing noble things like serving and caring for others. But for many, our busyness and hurry is really a decision and a burden that we put on ourselves. We're frequently digitally bombarded with distractions everywhere, with multiple screens in front of us. We have our phone, our tablet, our smartwatch, our computer screen, our TV screen, our gaming screen, you name it. Or we're driven because of the internal and external pressures to gain approval from others or even from God. That is why many of us have no peace and are frequently on edge, which is why our coworkers and family members try to keep their distance from us. We rarely have time for God as we rush through our prayers in order to check our emails in the morning. And because we are too busy with always the next thing that needs to be done, our connection with God feels distant and our soul feels hollow. And that is why many of us are frequently overwhelmed. You know, we're in a new series called Overwhelmed, finding God in our crazy busy lives, because when it comes to life, most people are feeling overwhelmed. People are overly stressed, angry, burnt out, because we're always busy and always in a hurry. In fact, Pastor John Mark Comer explains that there are 10 symptoms that result from us being too busy. And these symptoms can be used as a checklist for us to evaluate how we've been functioning. In fact, I encourage you to use your message notes right now to check off the ones that apply to you as we go through these symptoms together. Then later on, if you don't know for yourself if you're exhibiting any of these symptoms, then you want to ask someone close to you and they will be able to tell you if you are. The first is that you are irritable. This is where you are short-tempered with others and anything and everything sets you off. You easily get angry, raise your voice, yell, give the silent treatment when you don't get your way. You're annoyed over little things that happen because those things are messing with your schedule or the way that you like things to be done. Everyone has to tiptoe around you like they're walking on eggshells because all your pent-up stress and toxicity is spilling out onto them. This is especially true at home with those who are closest to you, like your spouse, your kids, your roommates. Next, you are hypersensitive. This is where even minor comments hurt you, or you take it the wrong way when it wasn't meant to be taken the wrong way. So a text message, a conversation, or a phone call that you receive ruins your day, or something happens in your day that affects your mood and how you treat others. It is where minor things now become major emotional events and where simple conversations are now turned into major conflicts because you received it the wrong way or felt like you were being attacked. And so what do? You attack back. Next, you are extremely restless. This is where you try to rest, but yet you can't. You're in bed, but your mind is racing as you are thinking of everything that needs to be done that you haven't done. And if it is done, what else needs to be done? You try to have quiet time with God, but yet all you can do is worry about the next thing and how things will turn out. You find reading scripture boring, and you can't focus when it comes to any sort of time with God. When you do have a break, it is spent looking at your phone or binge watching TV in order to escape. You hate taking Sabbaths or resting because it's never really actually restful for you. And you feel weird not doing anything because you're so used to always doing something. Next, you are a workaholic. You're frequently working because that shows that you are accomplished and have value. In fact, it's hard for you to even know when to stop when it comes to work. And when you do have time off, what do? You feel guilty resting, and so you choose to work more at the expense of God and your family or your health. You know you can win at work, and so you give everything to work. But then when you come home, you have nothing left emotionally or physically to give to those who are closest to you, like your family or even your loved ones. And that is why you are grouchy when loved ones want time with you because you have nothing left to give. Next, you are emotionally numb. You're not able to connect with others emotionally because you have chosen to stuff your own emotions. So people crying or sharing their problems frustrates you because you don't have time or the emotional capacity for it. Next, you have out of order priorities. You're sucked into what is urgent rather than what is important. When things happen or people say things to you, instead of responding thoughtfully for dialogue and understanding, you end up just reacting, ready with judgment and with fighting. You're always doing and feel like you don't have enough time for you to get what you need to get done. Things that are important to you, you never get to. Next, you lack care for your body. This is where you don't get at least 8 hours of sleep, nor do you have time to get some exercise. You're frequently eating takeout, and you are relying on caffeine, sugar, processed carbs, and alcohol to keep going. You neglect going to the doctors, are frequently sick, and you don't sleep well. Next, you have escapist behaviors. As a result of your hurry, you are too tired to do things that fill your cup and give life to your soul. So instead, you you turn to your distraction of choice, overeating, binge watching series or movies, playing video games, scrolling on social media, surfing the web, doing drugs, drinking, looking at porn, you name your vice. And all these things become addictions that we go to in order to escape our pain and our current stressful reality while we're stuck in a constant negative loop. Next, you don't practice spiritual disciplines that anchor you. You're so busy that the things that you do to connect with God that give you life are actually the first to go rather than being your go-to. This is daily prayer, daily reading through scripture as a way to hear and spend time with God, weekly worship on Sundays, weekly Sabbaths, and regular meals in community. The things that give you rest take discipline and emotional energy, but because of your pace, you don't do such things, which keeps you depleted and anxious. Next, you are isolated. You feel disconnected from God, others, and even yourself. You find yourself in a crowd but still feel alone. It is hard for you to be present with God as you are thinking of your to-do list of all the things that need to be done. And when you're with others, it is hard to be present as well. And when you are alone, it makes you feel uncomfortable, so you just default to filling up your time with more busyness or with some other distractions. So how'd you do? 7 out of 10? 8 or 9? How about 10 out of 10? See, an overbusy life is toxic, but according to our culture, it's normal to function this way. And that is why our culture is so broken. And when we function this way, we're just living into that same brokenness as we experience and react the same way as everybody else does. But did you know that God never intended for us to function or live this way? And if we consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus, and we're functioning nonstop and are frequently overwhelmed, then the reality is that our pace of life is anti-Jesus, because Jesus never functioned that way. And if we're doing that, then we are doing something wrong. Because all throughout Scripture, we never see Jesus running or rushing anywhere. He never yelled at the disciples to hurry up, nor do we see him get irritable at people for messing up his schedule when they interrupted him. Rather, everywhere Jesus went, we read in Scripture that Jesus walked. Not because he didn't have a vehicle, but because hurry was never a part of how Jesus functioned. Because you can't truly love people when you're always hurrying. You can't fully love someone when you're too busy and are not present with them. You can't deeply love someone when you get mad that your schedule got interrupted by them. Because love was the highest value in God's economy, which is why Jesus was very clear when he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." See, love takes time. And we cannot say that we love God if we are not loving God with our time, meaning with our schedules. And we cannot say that we're loving people if we're not loving them with our time, meaning with our schedules. Because hurry and love are incompatible. Think about it. A majority of our worst moments are when we say things or do things because we were in a hurry. We got in an accident because we were speeding. We overlooked mistakes in our presentation because we were rushing. We yelled at our spouse or family member because they were too slow and we were trying to do too many things. We made an impulsive investment that crashed because we didn't want to miss out. We make assumptions of others and of situations because we are not present to ask questions or too impatient to hear the full story. Or we get into fights with others because we want our agenda to unfold when we want it to unfold. See, speed goes against love. And if you don't agree, then look at all the times that you rushed and how you responded to people as a result of your rushing to get things done. Some of us were even unloving to each other trying to get to church today. So in our culture, fast is good and slow is bad. But to God, slow is good and fast is bad. In fact, slow reflects Jesus and hurry reflects the devil. Think about it. Even the fruit of the Spirit, the godly qualities that the Holy Spirit produces in us, in believers, goes against hurry. Fruit like love, joy, peace, and patience are more than just emotions or feelings, but they are conditions of our heart that only develop when we take the same posture as Jesus and follow him at his pace. And all this fruit conflicts against hurry and busyness. Because people who are frequently busy and who hurry all the time are actually not loving, joyful, peaceful, or patient people. Instead, they are characteristic of being unloving, joyless, and impatient. And when we are frequently functioning like this, we seriously need to ask ourselves, do I like who I am becoming? Because if we continue to live with no margin, with constant hurry and busyness, yes, we will gain the applause of others or get the status that we want that is celebrated in the eyes of everyone else, but yet we can still fail in being a disciple of Jesus. We can easily gain the whole world at the expense of our soul. Because following Jesus is not coming to church in order to worship God or listen to a sermon and then immediately go back to our overbusy lives as soon as we leave. But following Jesus is allowing God into all areas of our lives so that we can live and function like he does. So is it possible to live our lives without hurry and without speed? Is it possible to live at a different pace than the way that we have been going? The answer is yes. In fact, professor and Christian philosopher Dallas Willard said that hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And what Willard was referring to is that if we are frequently busy, we will not have time to connect with God, which will inevitably cause us to stay as emotionally unhealthy, spiritually immature individuals who live spiritually poor and joyless lives. And I want to be very clear. It's one thing to be busy where your life is full of things that matter, but it's different. It's a much, much different thing if we are busy because we are wasting our time on empty pursuits and empty leisure where we end up with too much to do and the only way to keep up is to overextend ourselves and hurry. So it's learning to surrender to God and to let God take care of the world, which includes our own personal world. It is where we go back to our original design of being human beings and not human doings. And this happens one day at a time, beginning today. Because learning to live an unhurried life is an act of faith where we slow down so that our toxic behaviors start to change. Remember, hurry and love are incompatible. And in order to change the way that we are functioning, we have to change the metrics of what success actually looks like. Because culture has given us the wrong metrics, meaning what we are frequently striving for is all wrong. And if we continue to strive to reach such metrics, not only will it cut off our connection to God, cut off our connection with others, but it will also starve and slowly kill our soul. And so it is following Jesus and learning to reset the metrics of success, where success is not about all that I'm doing, but success is about who I am becoming. That is why Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Here Jesus is saying to anyone who feels burnt out, overwhelmed, hurried, or who has had enough, to come to me. And that invitation is inviting us to surrender our ways of doing things so that we can give him all that we are carrying. So it is surrendering and giving all to him, all our worries, all our sin, all our burdens, as Jesus gives us his rest in return. And when Jesus said this, he was referring to the people who were weary with all the laws, the rules, and regulations that they were trying to keep and to obey in order to be right with God and be right with others, because they were too stressed and burdened by all that they needed to do. See, in the first century times, the religious leaders would put religious demands on the people. And so the people, in order to be in God's good graces and in the good graces of others, felt like they had to strive and keep striving to keep all these 613 laws. And as a result, they lived defeated and depleted lives. Pleasing God and others became works-based. But Jesus gave an alternative to the nonsense and the busyness that people were falling into. Jesus wanted to invite people into relationship, to walk with him so that they could live free lives. That is why he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." See, this yoke that Jesus is referring to is the heavy wooden bar that fits over the neck of an ox so that it can pull a cart or a plow for the farmer. This yoke is on either one or two animals. And if two animals shared a yoke, usually one of the oxen would be much stronger than the other ox. And so since the stronger ox already understood all the commands of the master, that ox would now be able to guide this younger and weaker and newer ox to these commands. And so by being under the same yoke with this bigger ox, the weaker and younger and newer ox could learn to obey the master's voice. And so Jesus is saying that by taking on his yoke, you will learn to walk with him. And by walking, Jesus can now teach you the way that you should go. Because by doing things his way, you will become gentle and humble in heart as you start to find true rest. The word "learn" in the original Greek language is similar to the word "make disciples." And so Jesus was saying, hey, learn from him so that you can learn to be his disciple. And by being his disciple, you can emulate how Jesus does life, because when you do this, you will start to find rest for your soul. Jesus continues saying, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, Jesus wants to lead us so we can have rest and peace. And taking on his yoke means obeying God, not in our own strength and our own wisdom, but by Jesus' strength and by Jesus' wisdom. It is surrendering all, including the weight of our sin and our shame, over to him so that he can live his life through ours, as we are dependent on him with all areas of our life. Because without him, we are unable to obey the Master's voice. But with him, we can follow Jesus like he intended from the very beginning, as we experience the change and the transformation that he actually wants for us. Because being self-reliant and calling yourself a Christian is actually not Christianity. That is making God into your image. That's not following Jesus, it's having Jesus follow you. But rather than more packed schedules or more moral effort, Jesus actually invites us to come to him as he gives us full pardon for all of our sin, full forgiveness for all of our shame. And by trusting him, we are made righteous in Jesus because he has obeyed all the laws on our behalf that we could never fully obey on our own. In him, we are made right with God and have an avenue to be made right with other people. In him, we are secure in our identity and future, so we don't have to keep striving to impress or worry. It is putting away self-effort because that would result in failure and more burnout. And it's embracing repentance and surrender as we follow Jesus and learn from him. See, the heavy yoke is hurry and busyness, whereas the light yoke is a slow and surrendered life that trusts God over trusting ourselves. And since we have had years of self-reliance and trusting ourselves, it will take us a step at a time to learn to walk with Jesus rather than running ahead of him. Because our spiritual lives and our eternities hang in the balance based on how we decide to function. So what about you? Well, here are some questions for you to reflect on and respond to. Number one, would you say that you are always in a hurry or always busy? What would those closest to you say? Number two, if busyness is anti-Jesus, how is your busyness contributing to making you more unlike Jesus? Number three, do you like who you are becoming based on how you are functioning? What would it look like for you to join a life group so that you can learn with others what it means to be like Jesus? And how you answer these questions will determine who you are becoming. And I want to encourage all of you to come back and join us as we continue to embark over these next 7 weeks towards living a life that is less busy, less hurried, and less overwhelming, as we aim to live a life with Jesus that is more surrendered, more patient, and more loving. Let me pray for us. God, we don't want to function like we are currently functioning. Whatever it is that is holding us back, we release and surrender it to you. Please deliver us as we battle against our own selfish ways and as we fight against your best for us. And so God, we seek change and show us how to function like you function, stress-free, worry-free, and peaceful. God, give us your yoke. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you are hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. We know that God loves you so much and that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with him now and for all of eternity. He lived a perfect life, and then he chose to die for your sins and my sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@comicitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in a relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.